This is Molly Hemingway of The Federalist inviting you to join me for the 2026 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 12th and Saturday, June 13th at Concordia University, Chicago. I'll be speaking and signing copies of my new book, Alito, The Justice Who Reshaped the Supreme Court and Restored the U.S. Constitution. Learn more at issuesetc.org. issuesetc.org.
O Lord, open my lips.
And my mouth will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to call me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Praise the Lord, as all of us I give, I receive grace.
A reading from Genesis chapter 7. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, on the day all the fountains of the great deep burst forth, and the windows of the heavens were opened, and rain fell down upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. On the very same day, Noah and his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them entered the ark, they and every beast, according to its kind, and all the livestock according to their kinds, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth according to its kind, and every bird according to its kind, every winged creature. They went into the ark with Noah, two and two of all flesh, in which there was the breath of life. And those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him. And the Lord shut him in. The flood continued 40 days on the earth. The waters increased and bore up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. The waters prevailed and increased greatly on the earth, and the ark floated on the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed so mightily on the earth that all the high mountains under the whole heaven were covered. The waters prevailed above the mountains, covering them 15 cubits deep, and all flesh died that moved on the earth, birds, livestock, beasts, all swarming creatures that swarm on the earth, and all mankind. Everything on the dry land in whose nostrils was the breath of life died. He blotted out every living thing that was on the face of the ground, man and animals, and creeping things and birds of the heavens. They were blotted out from the earth. Only Noah was left, and those who were with him in the ark. And the water prevailed on the earth 150 days. This is the word of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our risen Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You may have noticed in the reading this morning that it was a little repetitive. But fellow seminarians, I've been told that we'd miss this observation because to our professors, it probably just sounded like any other paper from a fourth-year student trying to come up with a word count without anything new or interesting to say. Don't think that Moses repeated himself because some publishers expected a certain number of words, though. That may apply to many of the books we were assigned to read while at the seminary, but not Moses. If anything, Moses repeated himself despite limited space to write. And so we're left to wonder, why the repetition? Simply put, repetition gives us an opportunity to ponder the gravity of the events. And in this repetition, we learn that the flood still kills and the ark still saves. So, three times we're told that Noah and his family entered the ark. Three times we're told that the waters prevailed over the earth. And at least three times we're told that every living thing not in the ark perished, died, and was blotted out in the flood. Here it's as if Moses is writing, every living thing is dead. Every living thing is dead. Every living thing is dead. Let these words sink into your heart. They clearly show that the consequence of sin is death, not cuts, not bruises, not hurt feelings. Complete destruction of all life is the consequence of man's sin. Complete separation from the God who created mankind in his image, complete annihilation from the God who desires to show steadfast love and mercy. While it may be easy for us to condemn those who died in the flood, they were ungodly and wicked, it's not so easy when you consider those around you today, your unbelieving neighbor, your unbelieving friends, your unbelieving family. In your ministry, you'll find many people who are at ease, with no desire to speak to someone, a man wearing a clerical. It'll be like the parable of the great banquet, where you'll invite many to join your church, but they'll all give excuses. A woman occupied with shredding chicken for dinner. A man too busy because he's watching the baseball game on TV. A young woman who will accidentally make a confession, simply saying, "Not interested, sorry." Many people won't listen to your repeated calls for them to repent. Brothers, in less than 40 days, some of us may be ordained into the office of the holy ministry. For some, the congregations you serve may look like the church itself is dying. Don't be ashamed by the weekly attendance. Don't be surprised when people haven't heard of your church. Don't be disheartened if few take up your invitation. They didn't listen to Noah as he preached for 120 years while building the ark, and he may not have converted a single wicked man, as no others were found on the ark. And there was no other lifeboat, no other plank, no other salvation. Only the ark. Only Noah and his family. Only 8 souls. Every other living person died. And yet God's plan of salvation used the destruction of the flood to save Noah and his household. God didn't destroy everything, but gave the opportunity for life to begin again. God left a remnant of his church to survive on the ark. Within the ark, the Christian church was preserved. While much of our reading today was repetitive, there was one phrase that wasn't repeated. It stands out like an exclamation point in the text. Only once, we're told, the Lord shut him in. Noah had completed all the things the Lord commanded in constructing the ark. He kept to the exact specifications of length, breadth, and height. He covered it inside and outside with pitch. He carefully planned for the nutritional needs of the animals and his family, and stored food for the duration of the flood. But all this alone wouldn't have been enough. What if, despite his best effort, Noah planned to be on the ark for 6 months, and it turned into over a year? They would have run out of food and starved to death. But that wasn't possible because the Lord shut him in. Yes, Noah did all the Lord commanded, but in the end, it's the Lord that provides the true safety of the ark. Closing the door on the side of the ark, sealing it, and ensuring that it would not leak is the work of the Lord. Brothers, as we complete our academic year, for some of us, our last academic year, you may realize that you still don't know Greek well enough. Can you parse ace aelthane? You may realize you don't know the confessions well enough. What's Article 14 of the Augsburg Confession? You may realize that you aren't ready for the extent of pastoral care that will be needed from you. Which psalm should I use? at bedside of a young man dying of cancer. Even if you can answer all these questions and more, it alone won't be enough. But just as he did with Noah and the ark, the Lord shuts you in. Yes, we are completing our studies, but in the end, it's the Lord that calls and sends and shuts us in. We do his work. So, you'll be Noah. The ark is the church, the door is baptism. Just as Noah heralded righteousness to an ungodly generation by proclaiming the salvation found only in the ark that he was constructing, so also you'll be heralds of Christ's death on the cross as the ark of salvation today. By faith, Noah constructed the ark to save his household from unseen events, and so he became an heir of righteousness. So also by faith, your people will participate in Christ's death and resurrection in their baptism, and so become heirs of righteousness. Just as the work of the ark was the Lord's, so also is the work of baptism his. Through baptism, the Holy Spirit will preserve and rescue the godly, your people, from trials. In your preaching and through the sacraments, the Lord shuts his people in. Within the ark of his church, God continues to provide for his remnant. The people you preach to will be saved through the seal of baptism. The food shall not run out, for we partake of the very body and blood of Christ. In a congregation where you don't feel productive, where people have left and you have no new members joining, know that the Lord calls, sends, and shuts you in. Regardless of how it seems, he'll accomplish what he intends. In baptism, the door of the ark remains open for all who come to believe in Jesus' name. You may never see the result of your repetitive preaching, and yet through you, one may return to the ark and be saved. This is the Lord's desire, that every sinner repent, believe, and be saved. In patience, God waited in the days of Noah, as Noah built the ark and preached to that wicked generation. In patience, God sent his Son to die on a cross to save us from our sins. In patience, God still waits today for those who will still repent, believe, and be baptized. And according to his great mercy, he'll preserve all who believe and are found in his ark, the church, until Christ's return. In Jesus' name.
Thank you.
O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
have mercy.
O Lord,
have mercy.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
I believe in
God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, the life everlasting. Amen.
Hear my prayer, O Lord. In the day of my trouble, I call upon you.
Will you answer me?
Hide your face from my sins.
And blot out all my iniquities.
Create in me a clean heart, O God.
And renew a right spirit within me.
Cast me not away from your presence.
And take not your Holy Spirit from me.
Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Because your steadfast love is better than life.
My lips will praise you.
For you have been my help.
And in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy.
Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth.
Unite my heart to fear your name.
I give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with my whole heart. May we all seek you, rejoice, and be glad in you.
May those who love your salvation say evermore, God is great.
Save your people and bless your heritage.
Be your shepherd and carry it forever.
Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer.
Listen to my plea for grace.
In our prayers, we remember Dave Clovis, who has been hospitalized for observation. Let us pray. O God, you make the minds of your faithful to be of one will. Grant that we may love what you have commanded and desire what you promise, that among the many changes of this world, our hearts may be fixed where true joys are found. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. O Lord, look down from heaven. Behold, visit and relieve your servant Dave, for whom we pray. Look upon him with the eyes of your mercy and give him comfort and sure confidence in you. Defend him from every danger to body and soul and keep him in peace and safety. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, you provided wisdom and skill to Frederick the Wise as Elector of Saxony during the early years of the Reformation. Using his rule and authority to protect Martin Luther and preserve the preaching of the gospel, graciously regard all your servants who make, administer, and judge the laws of this nation. Look with favor upon all the rulers of the earth that they might provide sanctuary for your church to continue to proclaim the true faith. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
I thank
you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings in life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul,
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless us, defend us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
As this academic year draws to a close, it's our custom to recognize various students for their diligent work and faithful study of God's Word. I would like to invite forward Dr. Geishan so he could open up this annual awards convocation.
This annual awards convocation is one way that we recognize the outstanding academic and service achievements of all of our students. On behalf of the entire faculty, I want to express our appreciation as your teachers for the many ways that all of you students pursue academic and vocational excellence in your theological studies and service. Before we begin, I have one brief matter. I want to acknowledge the graduate assistants who have been a blessing to the faculty and to you students this current year while pursuing an academic degree, an advanced degree. And if they would stand and remain standing, Reverend Tyler LeGrave, Benjamin Wessel, Matthew Kinney, and Jacob Shepherd. I also want to announce those who will be serving as graduate assistants in the next academic year. Benjamin Wessel will be continuing, then Douglas Bailing, Nicholas Tottenhagen, Trevor Flavnik, Ezekiel Grabow, Michael Hendrickson, Eric Osmondson, and Nash Rehnquist. Please join me in congratulating these men for their past and for their future service as graduates. Now on to the awards.
All of the recipients this morning are more than worthy, but there is a certain randomness to this. This is not Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. It's a little bit more like choosing a 12th apostle by the casting of lots. So we appreciate that. So on to the awards. Some years ago, an anonymous donor established the St. Timothy Award as a small way to encourage a second-year student in his continued study of the Holy Scriptures. Each year, the Department of Exegetical Theology selects an exemplary student to receive this award. Join me in congratulating this year's recipient of the St. Timothy Award, Zachary Stuckwich. Zondervan Publishing House asked theological schools across the country to designate exemplary students in the biblical languages. Join me in congratulating this year's recipient of the Zondervan Biblical Languages Award in Greek, James Gramzow. Likewise, join me in congratulating this year's recipient of the Zondervan Biblical Language Award in Hebrew, and that's Carter Thorman. Each year, the Concordia Publishing House honors student research and writing through four outstanding paper awards selected by each of the four theology departments. This year, the award for outstanding paper in exegetical theology is for a paper entitled Eschatology in 1 Corinthians, Paul's Pastoral Correction of the End and Its Application. Please join me in congratulating Derek Carey.
Subbing for Dr. Nordling, something I've been doing quite a little bit of the last couple of years, at least for one last time, I'm doing it again. The CAMWIS Award is an award from the Classical Association of Middle West and South. It's an association dedicated to the classics and classical learning, and it authorizes an award for outstanding accomplishment. The award consists of a year's membership, and that membership includes all kinds of pretty neat things, including online access to the Loeb Classical Library. No small gift. At any rate, I am pleased to announce the recipient of this award for this year, and that's David Kruger. David has performed admirably in advanced Greek. He also seems to like Greek. So he's not only good, but he enjoys it. And his enthusiasm for the language bodes well for his future service as a pastor in Christ Church and what it means to be didacticus, apt to teach. So we're glad to present this award to David Kruger and ask him to come forward.
The Draves Family Scholarship was established in 2004 by John Draves of Naugatuck, Connecticut. The Draves Family Scholarship goes to, I quote, fourth-year students in need of financial support who maintain a confessional Lutheran position and who are committed to a career in the pastoral ministry. The student shall be chosen on the basis of outstanding academic achievement, particularly in systematic theology, Lutheran dogmatics, and a recognizably firm commitment to the Lutheran confessions. As you can imagine, the pool is rather large for that here. Since the award goes to a student for his fourth year, that means that he is right now in vicarage. Normally the awardee is not present, he's not present today, but if the recipient of last year, David Gray, is here, he wasn't feeling well, so he might not be here, but we still want to recognize him. So David Gray was the awardee for this year. The Systematic Department has awarded the Draves Family Scholarship for 2026-27 to Mr. Eric Nuss, currently a vicar at Zion Lutheran Church and School, Decatur, Indiana. He can't be with us, even though it's not that far, because he's on military duty in New Jersey. So congratulations, Vicar Nuss. I hope you are seeing us online. Zondervan Publishing House is sponsoring an award for theological writing. The Systematic Department is pleased to give the Zondervan Theology Award to Ryan Scove for his paper on the rejection of acceptilationism, the difference between Luther and Anselm. Mr. Scove, please come. Concordia Publishing House Award for Systematic Theology Writing, sponsored by Concordia Publishing House and recognizes excellence in a Master of Divinity AR student in theological research and writing in systematic theology. Concordia Publishing House is pleased to provide this award at the recommendation of the Department of Systematic Theology. The Systematic Department has chosen for this award this year Noah Dunsmore. The title of his paper is From the Pastor as from God Himself, Luther's Doctrine of the Ministry According to His Sermons on John 20, 19 to 31. Congratulations, Mr. Dunsmore, please come forward. Concordia Publishing House Award for Writing on the Lutheran Confessions is also sponsored by CPH and recognizes excellence in the student researching and writing on the Lutheran Confessions. Concordia Publishing House is pleased to provide this award at the recommendation of the Department of Systematic Theology, and this year this award goes to Philip Norton for his paper, The Mariology of Small Court Articles 115 in its original and in translation, Sources and Contexts of the German and Latin Version. Congratulations, Mr. Norton. Please come forward.
The Gerhard Aho Outstanding Sermon Award is presented annually in honor of the Reverend Dr. Gerhard Aho, pastor, churchman, and esteemed professor of homiletics here at Concordia Theological Seminary from 1960 until his death in 1987. The Gerhard Aho Outstanding Sermon Award for this year is presented to Michael Hendrickson for a sermon entitled, The Watchman Cries, Turn and Live, Ezekiel 33, 7 to 9. Through the Pastoral Ministry and Mission Department, Concordia Publishing House annually presents an award for pastoral ministry and missions writing to a student in recognition of excellence in theological research and writing of practical value in the various areas of pastoral ministry, excluding sermons and Bible studies. The Concordia Publishing House Award for Pastoral Ministry and Missions Writing this year goes to Harvey Peters for a paper titled, For As Much As We Now Purpose, A Brief Examination of the Communion Exhortation in the Lutheran Divine Service. Please join me in welcoming. Sondervan sponsors an award of excellence in the category of written Bible study. Nominations are considered on the basis of theological and exegetical substance, creativity, written quality, pedagogy, and usefulness in pastoral ministry. The Sondervan Bible Study Award for this year goes to Adam Needing for a Bible study titled Stewardship Study based on 1 Corinthians 4:7. What do you have that you have not been given?
Substituting not for Dr. Nordling, but for Dr. Mays. It's my privilege, yes, it is my privilege to announce this year's winner of the CPH Award for Theological Research and Writing in the Area of Historical Theology. For his essay on Johann Gerhardt's use of the Song of Songs in Passion Preaching, I'm pleased to announce our winner is Nathaniel Hall.
I have the honor to announce and congratulate the recipient of the Concordia Publishing House Award for Graduate School Research and Writing. In recognition of excellence in theological research and writing, the Graduate School of Concordia Theological Seminary, in collaboration with Concordia Publishing House, hereby presents this award to Tyler LaGrave for his paper titled Substantia and Accidents in Solid Declaration 1, paragraph 50 to 52, a case study of substance ontology in the Lutheran Confessions.
The Elizabeth Fetty Award for Outstanding Service recognizes excellence in the formation of our deaconess students. This award is given to exemplary students who demonstrate both academic excellence and exceptional virtue in practical service to those in need. It is my great joy to announce that Elizabeth Moyer has been chosen to receive the Elizabeth Fetty Award. She's watching our live stream since she's unable to be here today. Her excellence in the classroom and her faithfulness and practical service to the church set her apart for this recognition. She is an exemplary student, and we give thanks to God for her service among us. Congratulations, and may our Lord bless her service to his church.
The Shepherd Staff Award is given to a fourth-year seminarian who exemplifies pastoral care. The recipient is chosen by his peers in the fourth-year class for his life of faith and love for God's word and his people. This year's recipient has been recognized by his classmates for his humility, care, and charity. His peers honor his integrity, his work ethic, willingness to serve others, and his commitment to Christ and his word, evident in his pure faith and upright conduct. His love for others is apparent in his vocations as father, husband, and friend, by his dedication to the pro-life movement, and by his pastoral heart and commitment to those he interacts with. I'm pleased to present the Shepherd Staff Award to Carter Thorman.
As the fourth year class president, it's my honor to be able to present the 2026 class gift. We paid for a translation by Matthew Carver of Valerius Herberger's The Great Works of God, Part 8, The Mysteries of Christ in the Book of Numbers by Emmanuel Press. I'd like to give a special thanks to Matthew Carver for his translation and also Janet Fries, who was our contact at Emmanuel Press. We pray that this book will serve for the edification of the church throughout the entire world. A copy of that book will also be donated to the library here and one to the library in St. Louis as well. Thank you.
One of the things that you will experience when you get into the church and are in your own congregation, in your own district, in your own circuit, is the amazing gifts that the Lord draws together into His holy Christian church, using them for the edification of the church and to His glory. And we just got to see a little glimpse of that today. We are grateful for the work of all of you students. It's sort of interesting. Education is a pact between student and educator. The educator delivers what the educator can deliver, and the student, in order to gain the most from that, engages in learning and turning that into fruitful knowledge. We are grateful for all of you, and we particularly give our thanks and praise to God for those who have won awards today.
There's a photograph of those who received awards. Otherwise, there is coffee at coffee hour. Go in peace. Thank you.